ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
You're listening to the 45th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. This week I have a great interview with Richmond Clements, who is most recently behind Turning Tiger from Renegade Arts Entertainment. I had a chance to talk with Alexander Finbull about this book a couple of weeks back, and now I get a chance to talk with him, and he answers some of the questions I had about the book, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say about it. He also talks about some of his other projects as well. Then I review the latest comics. Gianluca Glazer is back to join Ian Cullen and me to talk about the latest news and previews in the comics universes. And then I take a peek inside the local comic store to tell you what's new. Since we've got a lot on our plate, let's get to it. I'm talking today with Richmond Clements, creator of comics including Wild West Wendy, Corvus, and most recently Turning Tiger, among others. And the latter one is from Renegade Arts Entertainment. How are you doing today, Richmond?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you, Wayne?
Good. Now, other things, Rich, that you've been involved with include Future Quake and the Black Dragon for Strip Magazine.
That's right, yeah.
So you're a busy guy. You have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, kind of like to keep busy. It's fun.
That's good. Now, let's start off with the question I always like to ask people. How did you start reading comics, and then how did you become a creator of comics?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think I started probably at the age of 5 or 6. We've a comic over here called The Beano, which has been going for 60, 80 years or something like that, and we all think pretty much every schoolboy started in it. And I have also a memory of when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, my mum every week buying me a Marvel comic on a Friday, because we had reprints of the 60s X-Men books, or these little pocket-sized books, and I got one of them every week, and I think that's where it all comes from.
Wow.
But with writing comics, I've always written, but not necessarily comics, and it was only maybe in the past 5 or 6 years I've started doing that, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you write normally, besides comics?
I've had a go at writing novels necessarily successfully. Mm-hmm. I've never had any published, but yeah, I write short stories, and I write a lot of reviews and articles and stuff for magazines.
Cool. Now, you have written several books. Wild West Wendy jumps to mind. I find that interesting. A supernatural Western.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Wendy comes from... I'm originally from Ireland, Northern Ireland, and... I now live in the Highlands of Scotland with my partner, and she's the artist in that book. Wendy, she's a minister's daughter who's a missionary from Scotland in the Wild West, taking the word of God to the heathens, and it's fun and inappropriate, but yeah, I think it's funny.
Okay. Inappropriate. I find that an interesting word to use.
Yeah.
Now, what's the story with that? Is that published still? You can still access it?
Oh, yeah. I think you can still buy it through Vicky's website if you look at balnacra.com. I think we've got copies at home here, certainly, so you can buy it through there if you're interested. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is there one issue? Is it like a trade? How's this
work? No, there's only a one, I can't remember, is it 25 pages or something? So it's only the one issue, but I've written another couple of stories, but it's just getting the time because we're both so busy to do another one, you know, but we'll get there in the end, I'm sure.
Okay. Now let's move on to Corvus. Do you want to tell us what Corvus is about?
Ah, yes. It is, the one-line pitch for it is it's a superhero story set in Roman Britain. And the Corvus is a British superhero who also happens to be, she's a 15-year-old girl who inherits this ability. And she's, defending Britain against the Romans. And the Romans have got their own superheroes. Chief among them is a big 7-foot-tall guy called Gladius who flies and stuff. And yeah, plenty of fighting, good fun. But it'll be out the end of this year, I would think.
Okay.
But keep an eye on... online, I'll give you a link when it comes up. There will be a teaser preview strip online in the next month or two, so keep an eye out for that.
Now, is there a website that you normally do these things on?
Yeah, Vicky and I run a comic convention in Inverness in Scotland called HiEx. So if you Google for HiEx blog, you'll find it, or hix.co.uk is the website for the convention, and you'll find the stuff on there usually.
Okay, cool. Now, a couple other things real quickly. Operation Solomon appeared in the anthology Unseen Shadows. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Barry Nugent is an author. He runs a website called Geek Syndicate, and he'd written a novel, Fallen Heroes. And he's expanded it, you know, he's turned it into an expanded universe, and he was talking about putting out comics with it as single stories, focusing on individual characters from the book. So there's four stories in the collected edition, one for a different character in the book, and I've written one about Stephanie Connorsby, who's a Navy pilot in the novel, and I've written a story about her. So it was good fun, and we're doing another one. I say we, it's Barry, you know, I'm just writing the stories for him. So I'm writing another one for him soon. Then we're talking about doing a mini-series with Steph herself. So it's a lot of fun, and the novel Fallen Heroes is well worth tracking down. Brilliant stuff.
There's a comic version of that coming out.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Martin Conahan is writing it, and I can't remember who's drawing it now, sorry. But yeah, it's worth looking at too.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I think Cy Detand is another one of those stories in that book, if I remember.
That's right. Cy wrote the one about the character called the Reverend, which is quite, well, as you expect from Cy, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I remember the end of that one real well. Let's talk a little bit about, you've got a strip in Strip magazine called Black Dragon.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Strip has just started. It's only up to issue 3. Strip magazine have a slot where they do a talent search thing, and Nick and I sent in the first episode of Black Dragon to it. They accepted it and asked us to write a series, which I'm doing at the minute. Nick's drawn the first episode, and I've seen the pencils for it, and they're superb. Basically, the story, it's a steampunk alternate world, and Black Dragon's, again, it's always teenage boys or teenage characters in me. He's a Japanese boy who works for the British government. He's a ninja working for the British government as a spy who was saved from slavery by the British government. And yeah, he's fighting the Prussians in an alternate Europe. So it's good fun. I've never really written steampunk before, but you can just go absolutely nuts with ideas, your designs and the scope of buildings and whatever. So it's a lot of fun to work on.
Now, one other thing before we get to Turning Tiger is you do a publication called Future Quake. Now, you were telling me before we started recording that it's a quarterly publication?
Yeah, that's right. It's an anthology book with short 5-6 pages or more or less, but running 5 or 6 pages, science fiction stories with a twist or sometimes without. But we also do an annual horror collection called Something Wicked, and we also publish a couple of 2000 AD fanzines called Zarjaz and Dogbreath. So yeah, we have a lot on there.
Wow. Now, if somebody wants to get Future Quake, how do they go about that?
www.futurequake.co.uk. There's a Future Quake blog, so if you Google for that too.
Now, is this available only digitally? This is not available on paper?
No, it's on paper. It's not actually not available digitally. We haven't got around to it. If people keep asking us for it digitally, but we just haven't found the time to do it yet because there's only the two of us, you know, and we've both got full-time jobs as well.
Wow. Yeah, I can relate. I have a full-time job as well.
Yeah.
Other things, so it's a lot. Now, let's get to Turning Tiger, which I really loved. I thought it was a wonderful book.
Thank you.
It is an interesting story, and let's start with the basics of it. The interesting thing to me is that it's focused on a young girl. A lot of comics tend to be male-oriented, and to have a story that circles around her is something a little different. Did you set out when you started to write this story to go a different direction from the usual comic?
No. As you know, if you've read it, it has to be a young girl. That's what the story required. It wasn't a conscious decision to be clever and do something that nobody else was doing. You know, it's just that's what the story needed was that character.
Another thing I really like is the Smith family, who are very average people.
Yeah.
The very beginning of the first book, we see them sort of fussing with each other the way families normally do. And it's a great little piece that gets you pulled into the story. And then we also go into the other side of town or the other side of the area, and we have this base where all these scientists are working on these robots. One of the women who's a scientist refers to them as children. And I didn't, you know, I kept thinking, well, maybe she's just got an overactive maternal instinct. Now, of course, I don't want to give anything away, but we come to find out a lot more about that as the book unfolds. So I really thought that was an interesting contrast between, you know, the base and the family. And I liked the way they did that in the sense that they're all human beings, but yet they're very different in their perspectives and how they do things.
Yeah, that was probably deliberate. Yeah, well, you've got what you would call a traditional family unit with the mother and father and the daughter, whereas the other side, you've got another, for want of a better word, family unit with the military, with the scientist being the mother figure, the general being the father figure, and both of them, because they've looked after these robots since they were constructed, you know, they see them as, well, apparently the doctor stayed with his family, I think. I don't think the major does. She's not very nice.
Yeah, she's an interesting character, right?
She was good fun.
Yeah, she's basically the you will do it or else kind of person.
Yeah,
in the bunch.
She was a lot of fun to write, and she'll probably be back in the next one.
Oh, good. Well, the robots I particularly enjoyed, and the design of them. I think Alex Moore, who does the art, he designed those, and it's a she. Oh, I'm sorry. So I was right. Okay. I first got a look at the robots, I thought, man, these are just huge hulking robots, and yet they've got smaller heads with what looks to be hats on them.
Yeah.
And I thought those were kind of an interesting way to try to humanize or make them have personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of good. And I also got a kick out of the fact that each one was a different color.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of were the Doctor Who baddies who now have colors.
Oh, the Daleks.
Yeah. I looked at those and I thought that's an interesting way to develop personalities or at least differentiate between them.
Yeah. Well, the hat thing was all Alex. That was her design. But yeah, the colors I think I had in the script, and that was simply just so that I could tell the difference between them when I was writing it, you know.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, it doesn't give away too much to say that something happens to the family
mm-hmm.
as they go out into the world for the day, and we don't understand the relationship between what's going on, but suddenly one of the robots stops obeying orders and takes off, and we find out that the robot actually goes to the girl, and I just thought that was such an interesting – I couldn't figure out what in the world this robot was doing this for.
Yeah.
And of course, this all unfolds. It's a two-part story, but I really love the fact that we get to see this thing that we don't understand what's going on, and slowly all the clues are there. We just don't put them together.
Yeah. Well, that's why I hoped when I was writing it that when you read it for a second time, you'd think, how did I not figure that out? You know, you're scared when you're writing it, though, that you're putting too much in, you know, so it's hard to get in the balance.
Yeah, I think so. It's a great comic, and I think that one, it's sci-fi, and I like science fiction myself. I also like the humanity of the personalities. I like the fact that it's a story that I think really anybody can read. I don't think necessarily this is a quote-unquote kid's book,
although
I think children could very easily understand and get into it.
Oh, yeah, I've got two children myself, and they've both read it, and they claim to me that they like it at the very least. But, yeah, I didn't intentionally set out to write a book for children or adults. I just told a story, and that's how it ended up.
Mm-hmm. I think it's such a great book. I have a friend of mine who has a young daughter, and he's always looking for stories about young girls.
Yeah.
And I was just telling him about this book, and, of course, it's available in the previews this month over here in the States. And so I pointed it out to him, and he's going to order it for his daughter.
Oh, good, good.
So she can read it. And I said, and I loved it when I read it. And I don't have any kids. I'm not married. But to me, it was just such a fascinating story in the sense that it wasn't plastic. Everybody was a real person.
Yeah.
And the story is so interesting to me because the conclusion is fascinating. We don't understand why it's called Turning Tiger until we get to the last page, which I really liked. And then, you know, the thing of it is that all along I'm going, why is it called this? Why? I'm always looking for the whys. I'm a why type person. So when we get to the end, it ends up really interestingly in a way that clearly leads to a second book. And from what I understand, you are working on a second book.
Yes. Well, when I'd written that and I had no idea or intention for a sequel, I just left it. Yeah, because sometimes you leave plot threads hanging because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Fimbo, the editor, asked me if I could write a sequel, and I said yes. And it was only after it said yes I started panicking because I hadn't any ideas. But yeah, I got there in the end. I think after a year or so, I think we've batting stuff about, and I'm at a position where I'm just about to start writing it. Yeah.
Oh, wow, great. So you've got an idea where we're going.
Yeah.
I always like it when a writer is able to come up and have a basic idea of where to go here. I always tell people I have a script, and I'm writing a second script for these like Star Trek things. They're fan films and stuff, and so I developed the first one, and then there was so much I didn't get in the first one that the second one had to happen to tell all the stuff that wasn't
the rest
first.
Of it, But with Turning Tiger, the difficulty is, as what you've been pointing out, is the family dynamic. Writing that's easy. Well, you know, and then writing robot action is easy, but combining the two is the balancing act of getting those two things together again. I'm hoping I can do it again. Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm sure you can, because this one was just felt effortless to me. It just flowed so perfectly. And as I wrote a review for scifipulse.net, and I said this was a mixture of sci-fi and The Family Next Door.
Yeah.
The blending is so interesting because this is something that really could happen, mm-hmm. especially given today's society and how things are going. The use of science, the military's desire to use drones instead of people. So this is just a natural progression, and you could see these kinds of things happening. And you notice I'm struggling really hard.
I understand the difficulty reviewers have with this book.
Well, I don't want to give away the big secret because that's what makes the whole book really engaging. But there is a big secret that when you come to it, you'll go, oh, yeah, now I get it. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great idea about this. Are you a science fiction fan?
Yes. Not necessarily novels, but I love science fiction movies. There's a few science fiction writers I like, Ian Banks or Arthur C. Clarke or whoever, but I don't read a lot of science fiction, but. Mm-hmm. I certainly am a fan of movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
I didn't necessarily set out to write a science fiction story. That's just the way the story ended up being.
Interesting. Was there something that inspired you to write it? Did you see something that prompted the story?
Yeah, it was an image. I think I said this in the afterword in the book, of an image I carried about in my head for years of a little girl with a teddy bear in one hand and her other hand, she's holding hands with a massive robot. And this picture stuck in my head for years and years and years, and then once I figured out what it was about, the story just pretty much happened. The story just appeared.
That's when you know you've got a good story. Yeah. When the story rolls out,
Yeah, it was one of those ideas. You're going, somebody must have done this before. It's one of those ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we got away with it.
No, that's good. I really enjoyed the book.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody who's interested in turning kids on to comics, I recommend this too, because it's a little scary, but on the other hand, it's very realistic, and the real world is a little scary. So
it should be scary. Kids should be scared. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't mean you should point a gun at them. There's nothing wrong with being scared in fiction. It's a healthy way to be scared.
Well, I mean, the fables and all other kinds of stories. Those are all cautionary tales, as they like to call them. And so this isn't necessarily a cautionary tale, but it is something that I think will engross adults and a longtime reader like I am versus kids who may not have ever cracked a comic open. I think everybody in between will enjoy Turning Tiger. So it's just a terrific book.
Thank you very much.
It's great. Now, can you give any kind of a teaser for what you're planning to do without giving too much away in the second edition?
Ooh, what I will say is, I've been thinking about this very carefully for ages because people have been asking me about this. Mm-hmm. What I will say is, the meaning of the title works both ways.
Mm.
That's what I would say.
Very cool. Okay, and of course, when you get the book, you'll understand that a little bit better. Now, the interesting thing is, it's available in paper and also digitally, as I understand it.
Yes, that's correct.
If you go to renegadeartsentertainment.com, you can download the two issues together and now combined into one volume in $7.99. And I highly recommend it. It is just a great book. It's in some senses a contained story. In some senses it's not, which is great. In Batman every month, it's got to go back to a place where Batman can be back there next month. Mm-hmm. There are significant changes to the status quo because you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And I like that about the story as well. So you can order it digitally. The paper copy, as I mentioned, if you go into the most recent previews, you'll find it near the Arkea site. I don't think they got it quite under Arkea's name, but it's in there, and you can order it through there. And I really recommend it because it's just a fabulous book.
Wonderful story.
Now, other things that you're working on, are there other projects you'd like people to know about?
Oh, I'm always working on 1,000 things. But yeah. The big one at the minute, I suppose, is, apart from the Turning Tiger sequel, is Black Dragon, is the big thing I'm writing at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it will be the next Unseen Heroes book.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Okay, great. Now, you guys, do you put on a convention, is what I hear you saying?
I do, yeah. Well, we do, yes. We put one on in Inverness in Scotland every year.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's called High X, and it's in, as I said, in Inverness. We didn't do it last year because we didn't have time, and truthfully, we don't have time this year again, but we're doing it anyway. Yeah, it's not huge, it's not San Diego, it's a small city in the Highlands. But when we started this, we were the only comic convention in Scotland, but there's another one started, which is nice to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we get a lot of families, a lot of people that have never been to a comic convention before. All the creators that come say this is the great thing about it. There's a lot of children about, and family groups are coming. So yeah, and it's a lot of fun. Everything you'd expect from a convention with artists and writers and guys in Stormtrooper costumes and cosplayers. It's all good fun, but a bit exhausting.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're running a thing like that, just you're literally running the whole time it's going, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, does it take place a certain time of the year, usually?
It's on the 1st of March and the 1st of April this year.
Yeah. Okay, so wow, it's not far away.
It's not far away at all, I know. I'm afraid.
So if you're in the area over there, if you want to go to that way, how do they go ahead and get information about the convention?
They can look up the website. It's www.hi-x.co.uk. Mm-hmm. Or it's at a place called Eden Court Theatre in Inverness. They can look it up, edencourt.com, mm-hmm. or just Google search it. So you can find it there and buy tickets online or turn up in the day and buy tickets.
Very cool. Well, Rich, I wish you a lot of success with all the things that you're working on.
Thank you very much.
Like I said, you're busy. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to Turning Tiger, the second edition. Do you have a title for it, or is it just going to be Turning Tiger 2?
I don't know. I don't want to say. But it's going to be Turning Tiger with the subtitle. But
okay. Yeah. Okay, well, very good. And when that is about to come out, or you can talk more about it, I'd like to interview you again and find out about that.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, that'll be good. Well, you know, Rich, a lot of success, and look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Thank you very much for having me.
Did you come to Earth for the music and stay for the science fiction? Join a guided tour of the minds that make science fiction great. Get on our cosmic double-decker tour bus at www.balticonpodcast.org and see all the sights. Coming up on our right, Time Shifted for your viewing pleasure, are fascinating interviews with writers, fans, and scientists. Streaming in on our left are author readings, con-going tips, and essays. And at the end of the tour, there's always more of that great music that brought you here in the first place. So climb aboard, strap in, and hold on to your petty pallets. It's the Balticon Podcast Tour to the ends of space and time. To get to Earth for the
music. www.balticonpodcast.org.
Together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review,
dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Let's take a look at this week's comics. My favorite issue of the week was Penguin, Pain and Prejudice number 5 of 5. This is the finale that has Greg Hurwitz providing the writing. He's going to go over to Batman The Dark Knight shortly to work with David Finch, and I'm really looking forward to it because this miniseries was a great one. I've never been terribly impressed by the Penguin, but this one made him a really nasty, ugly character that was really fascinating to look at. He doesn't take his vengeance out on people who laugh at him by attacking them in person. He goes after the people around that individual, killing family members, ruining his reputation, but not physically attacking him, and that made him really kind of fiendish to me. So I like that a lot. It's going to be coming out in a trade, I'm sure. I hope it comes out in hardcover, because I'd really like to have this in hardcover. But Penguin, Pain and Prejudice was the book of the week for me. The New 52 books are also really good. Green Lantern number 6 was great, with Hal Jordan learning to live without the ring, which was a very different thing for him. Batgirl concludes her fight with Gretel, which involves Batman. Batman and Robin number 6 makes clear what Damian Wayne is up to. Next, I enjoyed Batwoman, in which she gets a serious wardrobe upgrade. Demon Knights number 6 by Paul Cornell was great yet again, with a lot of fascinating character twists and turns. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, continues to be one of the most offbeat of the New 52, with a real obvious allusion to Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen in it. Legion Lost continues to improve every month. Mr. Terrific takes on the Tomorrow Thief in his latest issue. Superboy number 6 has the Teen of Steel meeting Supergirl for the very first time in this new reality. Deathstroke is setting up the upcoming Ravagers comic. Resurrection Man takes place in Gotham with some familiar folks around. Suicide Squad concludes their search for Harley Quinn, with a transvestite goon squad involved. Grifter was okay, with some surprises, but it was the least of the New 52, unfortunately. Other great books that came out this week included Blue Estate number 9, and Severed number 7 of 7 from Image. Peanuts number 2 of 4 from Boom Studios was great. Kevin Smith's Bionic Man number 6 and the ever-excellent Warlord of Mars number 15 also came out from Dynamite. Venom number 13.1 was a good one from Marvel. And those are the books that came out this week. It's time for this week's news and previews, and back with us this week is Gianluca Glazer. How are you, Gianluca?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Recovered from your trip?
Yes, I finally have.
Great. Ian was swearing you had been captured by a cult that believed in the Batman, so I wanted to make sure people didn't quite believe that any longer.
No, just traveled to New York is all, cross-country from L.A. to New York and back.
And he got raped by Catwoman.
Yes.
And that's Ian Cullen. How are you, Ian?
I'm not too bad. Still suffering a little bit with his sinus infection, but it's clearing up, thankfully.
Great.
I hope.
Okay, well, let's get right to the news. Ian, you've got a really important news story that I want to hit first, so why don't you go ahead and inform us about it?
Oh, important news story. Very, very important news story is that the IDW are doing a crossover between Doctor Who and Star Trek The Next Generation, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first time that Doctor Who has actually crossed over with Star Trek. It's been something that a lot of fans have been speculating about for years. Personally, I won't be getting it.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Where were you going to buy it? I guess that answers that.
Personally, I won't be getting it because I don't think Doctor Who and Star Trek should cross over. They're all okay in their own universes, but I don't like the idea of Doctor Who crossing over into Star Trek and being ordered around by Captain Picard.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. It doesn't really ring my bells, as it were. But it's actually the first time that there has been some sort of official crossover for Doctor Who. There was actually rumoured to be one a while back when Doctor Who magazine was published by Marvel UK. There was actually some preparation work done for a crossover between Doctor Who and, is it Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Work was actually put into motion on that, and so, you know, it got as far as some sample sketches by an artist. Can't remember the name of the artist now, but my friend John Freeman did actually post them online some time back on his website, downthetubes.net, the artwork for the proposed but debunked Doctor Who and Doctor Strange crossover.
Mm-hmm. Is this a one-issue thing, or is this a mini-series?
I should imagine it's a mini-series. So I'm looking, so I'm reading down the story now. You got me reading. You wish you wouldn't maybe read. It doesn't actually say in this story. Bleeding Cool has actually broke the story, and they've reported a crossover of the series between the two major science fiction franchises. The Doctor, Amy and Rory will meet Jean-Luc Picard, and the Doctor will run away scared after catching sight of his reflection in Picard's chrome dome.
We'll find out in March previews, because it's going to be solicited for May.
Yeah, it doesn't actually say whether it's just going to be a one-off or a mini-series. So I should imagine if it doesn't say, it's probably going to be a one-off.
Very likely. That's interesting because this is a big deal. Star Trek right now is in the middle of the Star Trek Legion of Superheroes crossover. Now, interestingly enough, Legion is dealing with the classic Kirk crew, and this time now they're in the Next Generation. I was wondering why they didn't go with the classic crew as well, but I guess Next Generation would fit more with the Doctor's MO as far as things go.
I should imagine the nearest thing that Next Generation actually had to an episode was when Matt Frewer turned up on the bridge of the Enterprise and he was using time travel to sort of steal from the future.
Yeah.
But I'm not keen on this idea at all.
Okay. Well, I like it. I'm anxious to get it. I know several people who are already talking big about wanting to buy multiple copies of this since it's the first time. There are some fan films that have, like, Star Wars versus Star Trek, and you see the TARDIS go flying by at one point. This is the first time we'll actually see these two universes somewhat interact on an official capacity. There's a Star Trek episode or a Star Trek fan film that has one of the Doctors as the captain of the starship. So that's something different, but I think that this is something that's going to be fun for those of us who don't mind reading these things in the comics. I think this will be great. Gianluca, does that interest you at all?
You know, probably not really. I don't read any of the IDW Star Trek books, and they make a lot of them. The covers just don't appeal to me, and some of the artwork. I was always more of kind of a Star Wars guy than a Star Trek kind of person, too. Although I did like Next Generation.
I'll be the only one, I guess, buying them out of us, but I particularly like them. I think it's fun when they do these things. The Star Trek Legion crossover has been particularly good. He's done a great job of putting similar characters together, like Brainiac 5 talking to Spock, I believe, and Kirk talking to, you know, his opposite number in the Legion. So it's been a pretty good series, and I like that a lot. Does it say who's writing and drawing this?
I didn't see any news.
Well, I've got to bring up the story again now, Wayne.
Yeah, I waited just long enough to make sure I could get you to close the screen.
Did you? You bugger.
I think it'll do very well, though.
Oh, I think it will. The Star Trek books seem to be doing very well. This ongoing now is seems to be one of their better-selling titles.
Okay, there's no credit listed, but he knows that the IDW artist, Joe Coroney, who's a frequent cover artist on majority of IDW Star Trek covers, so probably Joe Coroney is probably going to do some of the cover work.
And for those people who are interested, you can go to scifipulse.net and you can see the story, which has artwork that shows the Doctor, or Matt Smith, sitting in Jean-Luc Picard's seat, and you see Amy and Rory in the background, kind of where the Worf and other folks have been in the back. I like it. I'm kind of excited about it, actually, because it'll be fun to see these things do that. It's something I haven't seen before, and that always gets my interest going.
Yeah, Wayne's having geekgasms here.
You're right. A Trekugasm. Yes. So that'll be good. Okay, let's see. We want to move on to other stories. So, Gianluca, what have you got for us?
Sure. Right now, as we speak, Comics Pro, by the time people are listening to it, it'll be over. But Comics Pro is currently going on in Dallas, Texas. Mike Richardson is giving the keynote address. Probably next week when we do next week's show, you're probably going to have like a lot more news. But so far, Diamond Comics has announced that they are launching their digital comic reader with iVerse. So the app will allow digital comic book readers and buyers to maintain a link with the print comic stores, letting retailers sell digital comics in stores and on their website. Mm. Interesting news there. Mm-hmm. Really sad news. Comic creator Gary Friedrich lost a lawsuit against Marvel regarding rights to Ghost Rider royalties. Not only did he lose the lawsuit, but Marvel countersued him, and he lost that as well, which means he has to pay Marvel $17,000 for prints that he sold at conventions.
Goodness, I mean, doesn't Marvel have enough money? They should just forgive that.
What it is I guess Marvel's lawyers are really taking a stance in terms of their properties, basically. If you go after Marvel, they're going to come back after you pretty hard. Because of that, now he can't sell Ghost Rider prints at conventions. He is allowed to sign Ghost Rider comic books that people may bring to him, as well as Ghost Rider toys if they're official toys. Steve Niles has stepped up to create a page for people to donate money to Gary, who is suffering health issues as well as financial issues as well. So good for Steve Niles for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, Brian Q. Miller, who is a writer for Smallville, is going to be writing Smallville Season 11.
We covered this thing in the week.
Oh.
It was in the website. We haven't done it on the podcast.
Ah.
That's something I should have sung. I remembered to bring up, but yeah.
Gianluca, why don't you go ahead and just tell the rest of the story?
Sure thing. They're going to be published digitally, and they're going to be less than full comic size, but then each 4 weeks they're going to collect that and release it as a print comic book. So the comic will be monthly, while the digital will be weekly. The digital starts April 13th, while the first printed collection will be on May 16th. So if you're a fan of Smallville, and I know Wayne is, perhaps you'll want to continue on.
Well, the thing that fascinates me most about the whole thing is that he's wearing the outfit from Superman in the New 52, looks like. He doesn't have the red trunks on. He's got what looks like a red cape, and it looks very much like the New 52 outfit. So I'm going to be fascinated when that book hits, which uniform he's got.
Sure. In more lawsuit news, Tony Moore is suing Robert Kirkman over the Walking Dead royalties.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is that all over the web. That's everywhere.
It is. It is. Basically, Tony Moore says that back in 2005, Robert Kirkman made him a bunch of promises in terms of royalties and stuff like that as long as he signed this document. And I guess he didn't have a good lawyer look over it because he's saying that he signed away his rights. Robert Kirkman apparently tricked him. Robert Kirkman has spoken up and has said that this lawsuit is baseless, that Tony Moore continues to receive royalties for the work, you know, the first 5 issues of The Walking Dead that he drew, as well as the book that he contributed covers to.
Mm-hmm.
I believe even Robert Kirkman stated that he received some type of royalties from the TV show. So, interesting case there. I'm sure we'll probably hear more about it in the future.
Well, the timing of that is what got me. Just before the Walking Dead comes back with new episodes, suddenly we get this lawsuit hitting like Thursday before, and people aren't talking about the new episode. What they're talking about is this lawsuit. So I find that really kind of interesting. When I read the original issues, I think the first six or seven issues, Mr. Moore did draw, and I remember thinking how odd it was that he left so quickly. I liked his art on it, to be frank. So I never did understand why he left, so we'll see how this lawsuit goes.
Interesting. In other news, Mystery in Space is going to be returning to DC Vertigo as a one-shot in May. With some big names lined up for it. You have Mike Alfred, Paul Pope. That's a pretty big one you don't see very often. Mm-hmm. Andy Diggle, Ming Doyle, as well as a lot of other names that I'm going to butcher if I try to pronounce them. I encourage you to check it out.
Okay.
In DC news, this is really cool. Steve Pugh is joining Animal Man full time with issue number 9.
Isn't that great?
I love that.
I'm so happy with
wanting Steve Pugh in DC, you know.
I want to interview him right away. I talked with him about a year and a half, well, a little over a year ago, I guess it was. And I said to him, if he ever has big news, I wanted to be able to talk with him. And I'm going to be after him to see if I can get an interview with him. Because he did artwork on Animal Man before, which is something we've talked about. So this is a great thing for him. He has been trying to do something, arrange something more on Hotwire. It hasn't been coming. So I'm sure he's glad there'll be a regular paycheck coming in. And I'm glad because I'll get to see his artwork on a monthly basis. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His artwork has changed, too, from the time that he originally did Animal Man as well. So it's going to be really interesting. If you, like, check out Steve Pugh's Facebook page, you can see some artwork, too, some pencil work, what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing this means no Hotwire Volume 3, no third miniseries, judging from that, since he's going to probably be pretty busy.
When I talked with him, I talked with him via email, and he was saying to me that, of course, this is all through Radical, and they haven't been doing nearly as much product as they had been, that he wasn't certain how that was going to progress, even though Radical had sent a tweet out saying that they were in negotiations for it. And Steve sounded a little surprised by that, so it's going to be tough to see. Yeah.
Travel Foreman, who's leaving Animal Man, he's moving over to Birds of Prey.
Hmm.
And then Jesus is leaving Birds of Prey, and he's moving over to Resurrection Man.
Hmm.
And Fernando Deguino, who was on Resurrection Man, he's moving over to Suicide Squad.
Hmm.
So a bit of shuffling around going on with the new 52.
Well, you know, I've quit Suicide Squad now.
Mm-hmm.
I like the artwork on Suicide Squad.
Just think that's
weird.
I thought the story got a bit predictable.
Anyway, any more on that story?
No, other than the fact that it's kind of interesting that, you know, a book as popular as Animal Man, that they're making changes, but I'm glad personally about that. And then I have one last piece of news, and that is for people who were upset about Static Shock, John Rosen leaving the series now that the series is canceled, interesting news, Scott McDaniel has given a long, rambling blog post in regards to basically firing back at John Rosen's accusations that the editor and Scott McDaniel's the artist kind of basically like took over writing duties. And basically, you know, he didn't want to be associated with something that wasn't the quality of his work and wasn't his actual writing work at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can muster through Scott McDaniel's long post, you kind of get an idea of his side, I guess. But I still kind of feel for John in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for me.
Okay, let me throw in one little news item that you reminded me of, is the fact that DC has now scheduled 3 annuals to be coming out in May. One of them is Animal Man, annual number 1. Now, the artist is going to be Timothy Green II, not going to be Steve Pugh for that, but Jeff Lemire is going to be writing it. And that'll be coming out, and of course, Batman annual number 1, the one that I'm going to be particularly interested to see. Scott Snyder, of course, who was referred to by somebody in DC Comics as a rock star, I just find that funny. When I interviewed him for this podcast, he was very much concerned about how it was going to be received. And I said, look, you should take this as a sign of confidence that we believe that you can do this and do it well. And he was sort of, okay, well, yeah. And now all of a sudden, you can't escape his name. I was telling somebody, Batman Gates of Gotham was originally a miniseries that came out, and Kyle Higgins, his name was first, and then came this nobody named Scott Snyder. Well, now the trade's out, and whose name is first? Scott Snyder's name.
He did the story, but he didn't actually write the comic book. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
And the other one, by the way, the third annual is going to be Teen Titans. And that's going to be written, interestingly enough, by Scott Lobdell and Tom DeFalco, two former Marvel folks. They're doing that. Brett Booth, who's the regular artist on Teen Titans, is going to be doing that. So those will all be out in May. And I think all of those are worth looking forward to. So I think that'll be great fun. So, okay, well, why don't we go ahead and move into the previews? Ian, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you're looking forward to this week?
Oh, well, I do know that Planet of the Apes comes out this week, so I'm probably looking forward to that.
Great. 11.
Yeah, issue number 11.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. I mean, this song,
it's going to be really loud. It goes to 11.
Final tap joke there, folks.
Yeah.
For those that don't get these references. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a fourth print coming out of issue Action Comics issue 1.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth printing coming out this week, which I just spotted while scrolling down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a quick look at IDW, see what's out coming out there.
Star Trek Legion of Superheroes.
Star Trek Legion of Superheroes is one, and then we've got the Star Trek Classics Trade Paperback Volume 2 coming out, Enemy Unseen.
Mm-hmm.
I just read Issue 5 of Star Trek, the beginning of Operation Annihilate or something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
We're kind of looking forward to that. As you can tell, Wayne, you've caught me completely off guard.
Okay.
Well, what I try to do is I alternate between the two of you. If somebody's doing the talking, I kind of figure, let's let the other person talk and back forth. So that's why if I'm talking to John Luca and he's doing the news, then I'm very likely going to go to you next so that one person doesn't have to talk for 10, 15 minutes in a row and then sit there doing nothing for the rest of the time.
Well, another thing coming out this week through Dynamite is issue 1 of Army of Darkness, which introduces us to a female character. I'm not sure if she's called Ash, because there's a picture on the cover of it, and she's stood up against Ash.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks quite interesting. Mm-hmm. I've got to admit, I've actually downloaded a preview copy of it, and it looks quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And for all you Star Wars fans out there, there's a Star Wars Clone Wars thing coming out,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's coming out through Titan. It looks like it's coming out through Titan there, so there we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else?
Pass it on to John Luca, mate, you know.
Well, hold on. Before we do that, there's another book. Are you going to be buying Sherlock Holmes Victorian Nights number 1?
Who's that coming out through?
It is from Blue Water.
No, because the artwork.
Artwork's on stock on the third of the day. Well, I just thought I'd throw that out there since I know you're a big Holmesian fan, so. But anyway, okay. John Luca, how about you? What are you looking forward to this week?
Since you guys like Sherlock Holmes, Moriarty number 9 comes out from Image Comics.
Yes.
And it is the concluding chapter of the second miniseries called Lazarus Tree.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Definitely looking forward to that. Batman number 6 comes out through DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be picking that up. Issue 5 was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, surprised nobody mentioned this. Flash!
Oh,
Gordon number 3 from Dynamite.
This is Zeitgeist, right?
This is Zeitgeist, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Flash Gordon Zeitgeist, number 3.
Not Zeitgeist.
Pardon me?
Not Zeitgeist.
I think it's pronounced Zeitgeist.
I'm sure it's pronounced Zeitgeist. It's German, and that's the way they pronounce it. So anyway, go ahead, John Luca.
Sure. And then IDW has a really good book I'm going to pick up. Road Rage number 1 from Stephen King and Joe Hill.
Hmm.
It's going to be like an anthology book. Stephen King and Joe Hill provide one of the stories. And then you have an adaptation of Richard Matheson's Duel, which was eventually made into a movie that's one of Steven Spielberg's first movies.
I think it was Steven Spielberg's first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I'm picking that up. And then, yeah, you guys mentioned Planet of the Apes number 11 already. So that's it for me. Not a whole lot of stuff. The last couple of weeks, though, have been really good
mm-hmm.
books.
Okay, let me run down a couple that I, of course, I'm looking for. Interestingly enough, the fourth printing of Action Comics number 1 is coming out, just like the third printing of Batman number 1 is coming out. Now, Batman, by the way, has been educated to the combo pack, which doesn't mean it's an extra value meal. It's you get the extra, the regular's $2.99, and for a dollar more, you get the digital version with it.
Yes.
Birds of Prey, Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Catwoman, Detective number 1 fifth printing. That's a fifth printing for that. That's interesting. Of course, that's the one with the Joker's face hanging on the end. Oops, you still have to buy the book, even though I gave it away. Green Lantern Corps, Justice League number 1, the sixth printing is in. The regular Legion of Superheroes book, Nightwing, which I really enjoy, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Supergirl, Wonder Woman, and Young Justice number 13, which is really good. So I like that book. I love the show as well. Coming out from Image of good quality is Super Dinosaur number 8. Mr. Kirkman, one of his longest going ones besides Walking Dead. Marvel has Avengers 22, some of the more expensive books. There are Avengers Omnibus hardcovers coming out. They're each $100. So, yikes. Daredevil number 9 with Mark Waid. Formic Wars Silent Strike number 3 of 5 from the Ender's Game group, which I really like. Thunderbolts number 170, which is a good book I was turned on to by my friend Dave Romeo. Venom number 13.2. Last week was 13.1. Apparently what they're doing is they got like a four-part story, and instead of putting them out in individually numbered issues, they're doing the whole thing under 13. The first part is 13.1, 13.2, then 13.3. I don't know if I buy that. I don't think that's the way to do it, but that's what they're doing. It's Marvel, the house of ideas, not always good ideas. Not a lot in the other books for me is, though, not that you guys haven't already mentioned, The Misadventures of Adam West ongoing now, number 1. Remember, they had gotten printed out of sequence, so I guess they've decided just to make it a monthly book. So that's one of the very few books that I like from those guys, so I think that's a good one. Gosh, you know, there really isn't a lot this week. Oh, Warehouse 13 number 4, which I think is the conclusion of that, based, of course, on the sci-fi series.
You mean the Syphy series?
Yeah, the Syphilis series. Warlord of Mars, Deja Thoris number 10, which continues to do very well. I like that a lot. And there's a trade paperback collecting the middle issues of those, so you can get all those. Okay, and on that note, we'll call it quits for this week, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. So we'll talk with you guys then. Thanks a lot. Let's take a look at the new things that have arrived in your local comic store. The Angry Birds are back, this time with a 3-pack tiny topper, a real 5-inch plush, and a real 8-inch plush. There's also a Cyclops retro statue for $200, so if you're a big Cyclops fan, you'll probably want that. There's a DC Comics New 52 11-piece magnet set, Poison Ivy Bushido statue, that one's $65. There's a Super Pets Amazing Mini Mutts thing for $5. There's also another one that's Attack of the Invisible Cats, the Backward Bow Wow, and the Barnyard Brainwash, as well as the Battle Bugs of Outer Space. And there's even more. There's the Candy Store Caper, the Hopping Hero, the Salamander Smackdown, the Sleepy Time Crime, Starro and Space Dolphins, Super Pet Showdown, and the Super Powered Pony. That's it for a change. There's a lot of DC Super Pets this week. There's also the Disney Pixar Capsule Buildable figure. There's a Deadpool Girl Getter black t-shirt in triple XL. There's a Doctor Who character building Dalek program room mini set for $25. There's also the chair building TARDIS mini set for $25. There's Doctor Who with the Doctor Widow and the wardrobe, Blu-ray, and then DVD. Those are the holiday specials from last Christmas. And there's also Doctor Who the Android Invasion DVD as well. There's a Famous Monster Movie Art of Basil Gogo's new printing for $40. Then there is the Giant Man statue for $300, and he's pretty big. I guess it should cost a lot. There are Hot Wheels DC Universe 164 die-cast cars. There's also Legend of Marvel Series 3 trading card set. There's the Marvel Captain America neon sign for $125. Marvel Foam Balls and Marvel Heroes Buildable Figure Series, as well as the Heroes Figurines. There's also a Marvel Heroes minigame for $60. There's Thumb Wrestlers and the Superhero Mini Plush 201-201, as well as a Thor bottle opener. So you're going to want to have that if you like the Thor movie from last year. There's a lot of Skell Animals things that are out. There's Batman plushes, Flash plushes, Green Lantern plushes, and also Superman plushes. So there's a lot of those. There's a Spider-Man Spidey suit on zip-up hoodie. That's one I think people will want to enjoy Spider-Man. That's $60. There's Steampunk Industrial Goggles and a Steampunk Large Key Necklace. Both of those are the dreaded PI. So there's no way to know how much they're going to charge at the store. There's a Superboy symbol hoodie that comes in several different sizes.
There's Thundercats, Chrome logo, black t-shirts in multiple sizes as well. There are Warhammer, Blood Angel second omnibus for $15. There's Warhammer hardcovers, all different prices. There's also the Wolverine Old Man Logan statue for $235. So that's a good one to end on. And if you like Wolverine, much more than I do, I'm sure, then you'll have to have that. And that's what's new in your local comic shop. And that's a wrap for the 45th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Be sure to be here next week when we have a special edition that will include Ian Cullen, Gianluca Glazer, and myself talking about Watchmen. We'll look at it in three ways, through the original comic, through the recent movie, and we'll talk about DC's announcement about a Before Watchmen series, so you won't want to miss that. But until next time, keep reading your comics.
What's that?
Oh, the tumbler? Oh, you wouldn't be interested in that.
This baby works just fine. So what do you think?
Does it come in black?